Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
What's happening, folks? It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show Live. We're tuning in, and we are live.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention, conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Yes, indeed, folks. You want to check out DaveBrayUSA.com. He's got his record out now for a while. It's Music on a Mission Storyteller Edition. A couple of new songs out. He just released a new song. It's moving up the iTunes charts, of course. The most patriotic rocker. And LibertyRush.com, that's social media without the libtarded rhetoric. I think right now Liberty Rush might be taking a hit, Rob, because President Trump's social media platform is ready to kick off here any time now. And once that does, you know that most of these folks are going to bail out and head on over to President Trump's social media network. I already have some sort of name already reserved. It saved a screenshot. I don't know. It's something. I don't know. They came with my email years or months ago. I don't know. But they're trying to fight the big tech censorship. It's very important because big tech don't want people like you and me who want to know the truth, who want to know the real truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God while we defend this sacred document known as the Constitution. My son's class is now in the process of dissecting the Constitution, and I asked him what he thought was the most important amendment in the Bill of Rights. And he says to me, he's on the right track, he says it's the Ninth Amendment. Smart kid. Let's see where we go. We're going to pull out the Ninth Amendment real quick. We're going to read it. This was the one that my son deemed to be the most important. God bless his little heart. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. When coincided with the Tenth Amendment, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states or reserved to the states respectively or to the people becomes the most two important amendments in there because it helps states, gives the states their power over the federal government. Of course, we want to have that power. The Constitution is the most important, and there are very large groups of those who are violating the Constitution on a regular basis. Folks, and I'm not talking about all the way up in D.C. in the swamp. I'm talking about in your backyard. I'm talking about down the street at the school board meeting. A whole bunch of tyrants across the country at school board meetings. Terrorists, domestic terrorists are showing up at school board meetings across the country. Could you imagine that? We have brave parents, brave moms and dads and grandmas and aunts and uncles and people who represent the children of their families are being labeled as domestic terrorists because they want to get involved in the education of their children. Unfortunately, because somebody logged me out of this wonderful device over here on my Facebook page, I don't know my damn password. I can't even play this lady's passionate speech today, so I'm kind of upset about that. I should have made further arrangements earlier. speech is pretty amazing. So, you know what? I'm not going to waste any more time talking about it. We're going to bring in our featured guest this evening, Miss Julia Roberts, who was at me. She could tell us what she said. She's very well versed and knows the statistics, the numbers, and the facts, which to liberals in the woke culture is like holy water to Satan. It's like crucifixes and garlic to Dracula. Truth to a liberal. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Ms. Julia Roberts, passionate mother and ambassador, representative for Florida Freedom Keepers. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Thanks for coming on and giving us your time today. I don't know if you can tell I'm kind of passionate. It's been a while. I got a live feed going. I haven't done a live feed in months. I've been enjoying like just doing the live broadcast and not having people see this mug. I don't know if you're watching. I got
no,
a face
I'm not
for
watching.
Radio.
I think you would probably get an echo if I did.
I got a face. I got a face for radio. I got a face for radio, and I do video.
Oh, it's great.
El Guapo.
Would it be helpful, Mark, if I can send you the link right now via Messenger to the video, or I can read my speech now, or we can just talk about it. What's easier for you?
Well, see, the way I am right now, I am shut out of my device. Over, I have, when I do a show, I do 4 and 5 devices. You know, I got one called into the studio, one's running the studio, one is doing a live feed, and the other one is supposed to be for my Facebook. Somebody logged me out of the one with Facebook, and I went to log in. I'm like, crud, I don't remember my password, and it's showtime. I don't have time to change my password right now, so I want the whole, you need to hear that speech. And so I would say read it to folks. Now picture, I'm just going to kind of set it up a little bit. Because you aren't the first person to speak, right? You were nearly at the end. So.
Yeah.
And they
wanted
to give you
a
full solid 6 minutes time. So folks, picture this. The school board, first let me ask you a quick question. Out of this public that actually got a chance to speak at the meeting, what was the ratio pro-vax and pro-mask to anti-vax, anti-mask?
At most, if not all school board meetings, the people that are attending are the pro-choice parents and citizens.
Right.
The people that are pro-mask are fewer. Now, there was one school board meeting where the pro-mask group rallied and they put together a form letter and they had maybe like 40 people send in the same exact form, but it was not people in person. It was people who just copy and pasted a form and emailed it to be read. So they're, to me, that says they're not really passionate or educated on their issue. They're just copy pasting and they're not really educating themselves. So,
right.
And also as far as facts go, the parents that are coming to these school board meetings are armed with facts. And it's funny because the parents or the parents and concerned citizens that come and say, you know, the CDC says that we need to mask our children. And the CDC says that masks are the best way to protect the, you protect ourselves from the coronavirus. And the coronavirus is so deadly. And, we need to protect so-and-so and we need to protect grandma and we need to protect the teachers and we need to protect the kids. They only come with talking points that they've heard over and over and over again. They don't come with any facts. And so that particular school board meeting where you saw that video, there were several parents that went up and said, you know, we need to look at the science. We need to consider the science. And the science says we need to wear masks to protect our children.
Right.
But she didn't quote any studies. She didn't refer to any studies. She just used the same talking points that the media says over and over. They're hollow talking. Follow the science. It's become this hollow talking point that really doesn't mean anything. It just means do what I say. It doesn't mean,
well, you know what, Julia?
Go educate yourself.
You know what?
Go ahead.
They were saying things like, follow the science. So you know what? A lot of us did. We went out and we researched the science. We actually went and looked into it and said, well, you can go right to the CDC website, and knowing that the numbers there are probably way off anyway, but it's still ridiculously high, to the adverse effects reporting service at the CDC.gov website that lays out how many people died, how many people got injured, and it's all there. You got to dig real deep. You got to look real hard. But if you got time, you can dig through all that because they try to hide it, you know. But it's there. They posted it. It's public. All the numbers
are
there.
Is theirs. I think it's maintained by the Department of Health and Human Services. I have been on there myself because I wanted to go see the vaccine injury stats, and I wanted to go see the death stats for these for the three COVID vaccines. And I'll use air quotes for COVID vaccines because two of them are really gene therapies. They're mRNA technology. It's technically a gene therapy and not a vaccine, but that's a whole other conversation. And I went, and it's really a difficult system to use, and you're limited on what you can pull. So I was trying to pull data, and you're limited on, I think you can only get 10,000 hits or something like that. And so it's complicated. So there's another system if people really want to go look and find the vaccine injuries and the deaths. There's a system called, or a website called OpenVaers, OpenVaers. I think it's .org, but I'm not sure. But if you just, you know, get on DuckDuckGo or whatever web, you know, search engine you're using, and search for OpenVaers, you can they aggregate the data for you. They take all the data from Vaers, but they put it in a really easy to see, easy to understand table, so that you can quickly see what's going on with the adverse events. But yes, you're exactly right. The CDC themselves also provide information that says and that the masks don't work. I found one PowerPoint presentation where they, you know, they're giving this to all of their medical professionals and their healthcare professionals about personal protective equipment, PPE. And they say on there, you know, they basically say masks work because they should. They admit on there that they don't have any data. This was back in October when I was researching this. They admit there's no data, but they work because they should, because it creates this physical barrier, they're going to work. But provided no data. And they actually later say that masks, cloth masks, can be harmful. And I can, if you want me to read my speech, it talks about it in the speech. So we can talk about it now or later.
Yeah. I want to hear it. The speech, folks, that's what I was trying to do before. I was trying to set it up a little bit and I got distracted. yes. So the website is www.openvaers.org. That's open, OpenVaers.org. And as it says right there, right on the front page, vaccine report after vaccination, vaccine safety. So it seems to be the site, OpenVaers.org. So picture this, folks. Now, here it is. People have been pro-choice, hollering at the school board, and hearing what people feel and think, and it's become apparent to me that they don't care what the people think. They have a majority of people coming up to the podium saying no mask, no vax, no vax, no mask, open the school, stop this, and then they just do what they want anyway. So they really don't give a hoot what you say. So now they've been getting hammered all day now, and now Julia comes up to the podium, and this is what she had to say to the school board. It's pretty impressive. It's the reason I said I got to have this nice lady come on the show, because it's amazing. All right, go ahead, ma'am.
All right, so here's my speech. Hi, my name is Julia Roberts, a resident of Seminole County, mom to three little boys, and I represent a grassroots organization called the Florida Freedom Keepers as a community ambassador. We advocate for medical and religious freedom. I appreciate a previous speaker's pursuit of truth. I brought some verified facts. To see all of my sources, please refer to the legal document America's Frontline Doctors versus the Department of Health and Human Services motion for preliminary injunction. Civil action number 2:21-CV-00702/CLM. And note, please, that the CDC does not have evidence to support masks. In their official presentation, they admit they don't have any data to support their use. They simply say they work because they should. Also from the CDC, quote, available evidence shows that cloth masks may even increase the risk of infection due to moisture, liquid diffusion, and retention of the virus. Penetrations of particles through cloth is reported to be high. Altogether, common fabric cloth masks are not considered protective against respiratory viruses, and their use should not be encouraged, end quote. Now, I'll pause for a moment. I went looking for that document today so I could print it and have it ready for the show. It no longer exists online. And I went through the Wayback Machine and couldn't find it, but I found other government resources who quoted this verbatim. So it has been there. It was there. It has been scrubbed. All right, I'll continue. The COVID-19 emergency declaration and its multiple renewals are illegal since, in fact, there is no underlying emergency. Assuming the accuracy of the Department of Health and Human Services COVID-19 death data, SARS-CoV-2 has an overall survivability rate of 99.8 globally, which increases to 99.97% for persons under the age of 70, on par with the seasonal flu. However, Department of Health and Human Services data is deliberately inflated. On March 24, 2020, they changed the rules applicable to coroners and others responsible for producing death certificates and making, quote, cause of death determinations exclusively for COVID-19, making them much more broad. In fact, DHHS statistics show that 95% of deaths, classed as COVID-19 deaths involve an average of 4 additional comorbidities. So COVID was not likely the cause of death. Similarly, the actual number of COVID, quote, cases is far lower than the reported number. DHHS authorized the emergency use of the PCR test as a diagnostic tool for COVID-19 with disastrous consequences. The PCR tests are themselves experimental products authorized by the FDA under separate emergency use authorizations. Manufacturer inserts furnished with PCR test products include disclaimers stating that PCR tests should not be used to diagnose COVID-19. The way in which the PCR tests are administered guarantees an unacceptably high number of false positive results. Virtually all scientists, including Dr. Fauci, agree that any PCR test run at a cycle threshold value of 35 cycles or greater is useless. Despite this, a majority of the PCR tests for COVID-19 deployed under emergency use authorization in the United States are run at 35 to 45 cycles. Further, the DHHS and their counterparts in state governments use the specter of, quote, asymptomatic spread, the notion that fundamentally healthy people could cause COVID-19 in others, to justify the purported emergency. But there is no credible scientific evidence that demonstrates the phenomenon of asymptomatic spread is real. On the contrary, on June 7, 2020, the head of WHO's Emerging Diseases and Zoonosis Unit told a press conference that from the known research, asymptomatic spread was, quote, very rare. Quote, from the data we have, it still seems to be rare that an asymptomatic person actually transmits onward to a secondary individual. End quote. The vaccines do not diagnose, treat, or prevent SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19. CDC data shows that the vaccines are not effective in treating or preventing SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19. And I'll pause and clarify, SARS-CoV-2 is the virus, COVID-19 is the presentation of symptoms. According to a study published by the NIH, the absolute risk reduction for the Pfizer vaccine is a mere 0.7%, which is less than 1%. The absolute risk reduction for the Moderna vaccine is only 1.1%. The 95% efficacy claim we have heard about is based on relative, not absolute risk, and is extremely misleading. There are several factors that reduce any purported benefit of the COVID-19 vaccines. First, it is important to note that vaccines were only shown to reduce symptoms, not block transmission. Secondly, the theory of asymptomatic transmission was based solely upon mathematical modeling. This theory had no actual study participants and no peer review. The authors made the unfounded assumption that asymptomatic persons were 75% as infectious as symptomatic persons. But in the real world, healthy false positives turned out to be merely healthy and were never shown to be asymptomatic carriers of anything. Since asymptomatic individuals do not spread COVID-19, they do not need to be vaccinated, and they do not need to be masked. Most of what I have just shared is shared verbatim from America's Frontline Doctors' motion for preliminary injunction against the Department of Health and Human Services to remove the emergency use authorization for COVID-19 vaccines. The data clearly does not support the claim that the shots are safe or effective at preventing infection or transmission. Considering none of the vaccine trial studies have proven they prevent infection or transmission, only that they lessen symptomatic laboratory-confirmed cases, the idea that vaccinated persons protect those around them is blatantly irrational. Considering asymptomatic individuals have a near-zero chance of transmitting the virus, masks for the common good are also blatantly irrational. And now I would like to point out that there is a recent legal precedent that mask mandates are presumptively unconstitutional. From the main opinion of the First District Court of Appeals in Green versus Alachua County, June 11, 2021, quote, the right of privacy is a fundamental one expressly protected by the Florida Constitution, which you were mentioning early, Mark, and any law, you were mentioning the U.S. Constitution, this is the Florida Constitution, and any law that implicates it is presumptively unconstitutional. It continues, the Supreme Court has construed this fundamental right to be so broad as to include the complete freedom of a person to control his own body. Under this construction, a person reasonably can expect not to be forced by the government to put something on his own face against his will. Florida's constitutional right to privacy then necessarily is implicated by the nature of the county's mask mandate, end quote. The science is and always has been on our side. The U.S. and Florida constitutions have also always been on our side. Masks should be optional and no one should be discriminated against or segregated for their choice to mask or vaccinate. Thank you.
Amen.
That was what I said.
And you know what? I think they had sensory overload. I think when you see people sitting up there being berated and the blank stares in their face, do they even hear one word? Do they care? It's really sad that they seem like they don't care. I see it in my own school board here in my county. They hear the people talking, screaming and hollering at the top of their lungs about no mask. And then they put in a mask mandate anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to tell people, mandates ain't laws. You can send your kid to school with no mask. And if they send them home, then now they're denying your kid the right to an education. There's got to be something in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't deny your right to an education and force a mandate that's not a law down your throat. But anyway, I gotta update that. It's openvares.com, openvares.com. And right now, according to this website, I'm looking at the page right now, 1,624,532 reports of vaccine adverse events. In the vaccine adverse events reporting service at the CDC website.
Mm-hmm.
16,766 vaccine reported deaths on theirs, and a total of 25,799 completely. So they got over 25,000 deaths. They got 76,699 total COVID vaccine reported hospitalization, and a total of, according to this, the top says 1 million, and then this one says 798,634 COVID vaccine adverse events report. So the numbers are high, and when they're reporting on all this stuff, you never hear, well, this week we had only 12 cases and no deaths. We've had no deaths for weeks. The hospitals are overrun because they're understaffed, because we fired all the nurses and doctors because they wouldn't get this bogus vaccine. So now the hospitals are overrun. The ICUs are overfilled because you can only have so many patients per nurse. So they only have a half a nurse working on the floor. So there's no room in the ICU. You can't get a bed there because they only got a half a nurse working. It's crazy what's going on. It's unbelievable, the madness, and that anybody's still falling for it. I since the very beginning, went in large crowds, never wore a mask, never did anything. I didn't get sick. I don't know if I was asymptomatic and I was just spreading it all over the place. I have no idea. Every test I got, I've gotten three tests since it began. All three came back negative, one of which when I had a fever for 7 days. Came back negative. I had two tests for that, and I had one because my wife came down with it, and I couldn't go back to work without a positive test.
Mm-hmm.
And that was back in Easter. So I've had never wore a mask, never stopped living. If they said, you can't come in here without a mask, I said, okay, well, me and my wallet will go to the store that lets me in. See you later.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's a really good point, and something that I like to talk about is peaceful noncompliance. And it's just what you said. It's that you're going to walk with your dollars, you're going to vote with your dollars, and you're going to peacefully noncomply. And I think one of the important parts is peaceful. Like, it has to be peaceful noncompliance. But it's our way as the as we the people that we get to do the checks and balances for our constitutional and, you know, checking the non the unconstitutional acts of our government. Our power to say
Southwest
no Airlines. Is great, yes. And if we don't have the authority to say no, then we're not free. So if you want to stay in a free country, if you want your children to enjoy the liberties of freedom, then you need to, as an individual, stand up and say no. For example, the Orlando Science Center, I'm in Central Florida, and the Orlando Science Center requires masks. And my kids have been begging, Mom, when can we go back to the Science Center? We want to go to the Science Center. I said, well, when they don't require masks. And so I'm thinking about starting a campaign targeting the Science Center and just delivering, just like I did the school board, and presenting them all the facts. Here's the facts. I understand that maybe a large portion of your funding comes from government agencies, and so you may be in a prickly situation where you want to keep your funding. But as a human being, as a person, can you ignore these facts? Can you ignore how harmful they are? Can you ignore that they don't work? So we have to say no and peacefully non-comply and say, I don't wear a mask. I'm not going to wear a mask. I'm not going to get the vaccine. And I'm so thankful. I don't know if you saw today, but the governor just called an emergency legislative session so that our legislators can finally put a law in place in Florida that says you cannot mandate vaccines as a condition of employment. We have been asking and calling Florida Freedom Keepers and other groups. We have been calling our legislators since last legislative session, asking them, please, you know, put a law in place that says you can't mandate vaccines. And I don't know if you know this too, but there's a section in the Florida Constitution. I think it's 381.001.18 or 1.5. And it's nicknamed the Florida Forced Vaccine Law, where the state health officer, public health officer, has the authority to mandate, among the things that he can mandate, he or she, during a state of emergency, is vaccines. That's in the Florida Constitution, that vaccines are allowed to be mandated in an emergency, public health emergency. And we've been asking, House Representative Sabatini has been asking since last year. He put forth a bill that says let's strike the word vaccination from the Constitution there, so that we no longer have forced vaccination on the books. And yes. I'm hoping that our legislators will do that in this emergency session. And I think it's important. I only recently got involved in local politics because of COVID. I never thought I would be involved in politics, but here I am calling and writing my legislators and talking in front of school boards and talking in front of delegation meetings, because I think it's important that they hear our voice and that they hear the facts.
Reported to me by somebody I know doesn't like to report bullcrap. He's saying that in part this special session, he posted it in the live feed, is to secede from the nation and become our own entity. I don't know if that's true or not, but I guess we'll find out. From what I heard, I don't know. It's to stop the vaccine mandates and all that stuff. That's like what you just said. If it is to secede from the nation, then I'm in the right state. Let's do it. Let's be free. Let's secede with Texas. We'll be Texas and Florida, USA, part two.
I didn't hear that part.
We can be USA 2.0. Florida and Texas and all the
I
other
kinda states. I kind of like our Constitution, our U.S. Constitution.
Yeah. It's a good one. It's a good one. You know, people, I don't know where you stand on the January, let me just say, quote, January 6th insurrection. Now, folks, if you want to see what a real insurrection looks like, it is not what took place January 6th in Washington, D.C. A real insurrection is what took place in Afghanistan as we bailed out and left thousands of people to be under control by the terrorist Taliban. A true insurrection where you have armed invaders, terrorists, sitting at the presidential desk with rifles and guns in military clothing. That is an insurrection. A bunch of idiots who made a bad decision and decided to break into the Capitol and walk around in one of the hallowed halls of America is not an insurrection. It's a bunch of idiots who made mistakes. And maybe a couple antagonists. That's just my opinion. I'm allowed to have one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was very heartbroken over what happened in Afghanistan. There were so many
unbelievable.
So many Americans left stranded and missionaries left stranded. And I was following some missionaries on Facebook, and they were talking about, you know, they were on the phone with these missionaries when the Taliban came in and discovered them and annihilated them. And I wept because, I mean, the bravery of these people, like they went to go preach Jesus and they,
yeah.
They met Jesus while they were there. I mean, but they were so brave to stay and to keep the faith. And I think that's, you know, a lesson that we can take, like, no matter how tough it gets, like, we have to keep the faith. Like, Jesus is still good, and he's still on the throne. And those missionaries over in Afghanistan, they kept the faith, and they were so, they were just so brave in the face of evil. And I think as Christians, we have to do the same thing. Like, we're called to keep the faith and be brave and be the light in the face of darkness, in the face of evil.
Well, people ask me sometimes
what happened in Afghanistan.
People ask me sometimes in reference to Jesus, I have such doubts. It's really hard to believe and understand that story completely. And I said, my brother, I agree. It is unbelievably hard to truly fathom that this could ever be true. And that's where the word faith comes in. And if you have the faith and you just go, okay, it sounds crazy, but I got to believe it because the story hasn't changed for over 2,000 years. It's the same story. And The evidence is there upon the pages, the witnesses that came forth before, after, and during the crucifixion, the 40 days following, leading to the ascension of Christ, all the things that were seen cannot be denied.
Yeah.
You must just have faith. They have doubts. Thomas had doubts. And Jesus put those doubts to rest. Give him time.
Yeah.
If you have doubts, he will put them to rest. Have faith in Jesus and everything will be fine. That's just where I'm at.
Everything will be fine when he comes again. I think up until that point, it's going to get pretty chaotic. And I think we just have to stand firm and not be shaken by the waves of deception and evil. Because, I mean, the Bible talks about, you know, don't be like an infant blown and tossed back and forth like the wind. You know, be mature in the faith and stay strong in the faith and keep the course and run the race. And at the end of it, you know, God will say, my good and faithful servant, welcome home. But I think until we get to that point, it's going to get, I have a feeling it's going to get worse. But for the faithful, we have something to look forward to. But I think that, you know, we were born for this time, for such a time as this. We were born just like Esther was born for her time that she saved her people. She saved the Jews when her husband, King Xerxes, was going to annihilate them unknowingly because he got, you know, bad. We are born for such a time as, I mean, what a time to be alive. What a time that we get, I mean, patriots, the revolution, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, those men, what a time for those men to be alive. I feel like we are also at a crossroads moment. What a time to be alive where we have this really great moment in time where we get to impact history. History is being written as we're living, and we have this amazing opportunity to be a part of that, right? You know, writing that history. We can be passive and not do anything and just let it happen, or we can have a voice and we can inspire and we can influence and we can make a difference. And that's what I'm betting on. I'm betting on inspiring and making a difference and being an influence and being a voice of truth and being a beacon of hope in a place of darkness where so many people are just driven by fear because they can't escape that mainstream media. So what a time to be alive. We have as much, I think, writing on this as the, you know, the signers, with the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. We are at a time, I think, just as important as that. We can either watch our country be divided, eroded, and just dissolve, or we can get back to our roots and rebuild we know and love, the land of the free, the home and the brave, the home of the brave. So
I've been talking recently with this gentleman at work. He was a refugee that came to this nation after the Clintons bombed his country is Serbia. And he's a humble individual, because when he was just, I think he was 16, they bombed the hell out of the country. And the guy lived for 3 years in this devastated nation with no electricity, really living hard. And then refugee resettlement comes and resettles him to the country that bombed him out of his home.
Oh, my goodness.
And the kids today have, and you know why they bombed him? They said Slobodan Milosevic was committing ethnic cleansing. No, what he was doing was asking for help as the Muslims were slaughtering his people. And so no one would give him help, so he did it on his own. And he started exterminating and removing the Muslim population from his country. And because the Clintons are Muslim sympathizers, when Slobodan asked them for help, they said, sure, we're going to give you plenty of help. And they came and they helped the Muslim. And this guy lives now in America. And he can't believe what he sees.
Mm.
And he believes that if something like that were to occur in this country, 3 years without electricity, 90% of America would die. And I happen to agree with
him. Can you
imagine
really
that?
Hard.
The refugee resettlement resettles you into the country that bombed your nation into oblivion. You know, and then people were, like, so mad at him when he was angry about America. When I first met him 10 years ago, he was angry. And some people were like, ah, screw him. If he don't like it, he could leave. But they never got to know him and ask him his story. If they knew his story, they might be like, ah, oh, man, now I get it. So now the country that blew his whole country to bits, he's now forced to live in. That would piss me off. Anyway, I think we have Jessica Tillman's on the line, I believe. So what I'm going to do here real fast, something I love to do here at the Patriot Nation radio show, play like every once in a while cool tunes while we try to screen the calls and see who's there. So this is I'm going to play a song by my good friend Dave Bray, because that's the favorite songs I have on his box. This song is called I'm going to find it here on the board. Excuse my scratchy throat. I don't know. I choked on coffee earlier. Now I got a scratchy throat. And this song is one of the greatest songs. I dedicate this to all the men and women who put it all on the line so that I can be free. And based on what we've seen in Afghanistan, 20 years of sacrifice thrown away in just a couple of days. And I know that there's many veterans out there who watch their brothers and sisters pay the ultimate sacrifice on that battlefield of Afghanistan. And now they're beside themselves and they're feeling alone, isolated, and scared. PTSD, anxiety, this is real stuff, folks. And if you are one of those folks, we love you and we care for you. And if you need somebody, call 1-800-273-8255. That's the suicide prevention hotline. There's someone there for you. They will talk to you. Pray to Christ. Go to your local church. They'll help you there. They will pray with you and care with you. Suicide prevention hotline, 1-800-273-8255. This is Freedom Rings, and we'll be back in 3 minutes and 32 seconds.
For every soul from every war, across the seas or on our shore, for every fold of our flag, the coffins are laid, we hold back. For every daughter, price was paid for it.
like that song, head on over to DaveBrayUSA.com, get Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition. It's out now. That's Freedom Rings, Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. You see him around. He was at, he's got some great songs. He was out of D.C. He's touring around right now. He's out there doing it. He is America's most patriotic rocker, Dave Bray, and DaveBrayUSA.com. How's that? Pretty good. And without further ado, Julia, Jessica is on the line with us. I'm going to bring her on right now. And she's Moms for Liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome our second guest to round out the evening. Jessica, she's got an event she wants to tell us about. Also, I want you to tell us a little bit about Moms for Liberty and then tell us about the event that you guys have coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Jessica Tillman, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate your time. Yes, Moms for Liberty is an organization that was started in January of 2021 by two previous school board members in Florida, and they just did not like how school boards were being ran, so they decided to start this organization, and their original goal was to have a chapter in every county in Florida. And we have actually crossed 157 counties. We are in 32 states. We have over 60,000 members in just 10 months. So it's a very exciting time for us.
Now, you guys have this event that's coming up. Is that tomorrow or Saturday?
I'm not sure what event you're talking about.
Oh, it's not. Because I thought someone was coming on this evening and talk about the anti-vaccine, a pro-choice, basically pro-choice rally happened locally here.
I have an event, actually, for that.
Okay.
I don't know if this is the event that you're referring to, Mark, but there is a rally tomorrow night. Florida Freedom Keepers is partnering with We Are Change Orlando, and there's a rally tomorrow, Friday, October 22nd at the Amway Center in Orlando. It's from 6 to 7:30. It's to support the Orlando Magic player, Jonathan Isaac, who's recently taken a lot of heat on his position against vaccine mandates. He says it should be a personal choice, not mandated. He made the choice not to get the vaccine because he's had COVID. He is under scrutiny, has been misrepresented by the media in order to face his credibility and his character, which is very common practice when you say anything that goes against the mainstream narrative or anything that is of any intellectual dissent. So we're organizing a rally to meet outside of the Amway Center to show our support for him, saying segregation is not okay based on vaccine status. We support medical freedom. And so if you want to come and show your support and rally, it's from 6 to 7:30, meet at the corner of Church Street and Huey Avenue. And they're wearing referee shirts, black hats, black pants, and sunglasses. And signs will be provided. So you don't need to bring your homemade signs. Signs will be provided. So come and support medical freedom at the Amway Center tomorrow.
And if you don't have a referee outfit, come in all black.
There you go.
There you go.
So that's the event I was talking about. Sorry, Jessica, okay. We cut you off there in mid chat about Moms for Liberty and the great things they're doing.
We definitely want to get that event out. We want everyone to be there.
Right. So back to you, Jessica. Ooh, that sounded like a real newscast. back to you, Jessica.
In Seminole County, where we are located, we have been fighting our school board for a very long time, way before Moms for Liberty came around. But when they came around Seminole, we found a great fit for them, and we have taken them in, and we are flying with them, and it's fantastic. It's been a fantastic ride so far.
Excellent. Glad to hear it.
So Jessica's been really keeping the school board accountable. She has binders and notebooks full of their statutes and of their bylaws and all of the stuff that they're doing, all of the new committees that she's keeping them accountable. She's going through, thousands of pages to make sure that our school boards, our local school boards, are being held accountable for their actions. And she's just been amazing at speaking at every school board meeting, attending every equity, diversity, whatever meeting. And I think she's got some great perspective about how rogue the school boards are going and how important it is to be involved. Even if you're not, if your kids are not in public school, I think it's still really important be involved in education, because education is a matter of, is literally a matter of national security for several reasons. But
sound like a horrific, unbelievably horrible domestic terrorist to me. I don't know.
I was thinking about wearing my mom's Liberty shirt out to trick or treat in. So, I mean, I can go as a domestic terrorist.
How dare you want to stick up for the children and make sure they're being taught reading, writing, arithmetic, and the things they need to learn to become productive citizens?
Yeah.
That's incredible. You know, Muhammad Abdul Shaki Laka Laka Waka Laka Haini Ho, who's cutting off heads in the desert, and then all of a sudden is now a refugee from Afghanistan, is living in Michigan somewhere. And he's not on the terror list, but moms like you are going to be put on the list. That's crazy.
It's just like right now, our current Seminole County School Board is considering altering their public input policy. And there is a school board member that wants to limit our availability to 30 minutes total for everybody to speak for whatever reason. So they're really trying to silence us. And in Orange County next to us, they have, and we can't even go to Orange County school board meetings and speak anymore. You cannot speak at an Orange County school board meeting unless you're an Orange County resident now.
It's unbelievable. And these are elected officials who took an oath, because it doesn't matter if you are on the school board or you're the president. You take an oath to support and defend the Constitution.
Correct.
And they are all violating their oath. And there's no accountability.
Absolutely.
That's one thing maybe they forgot to put in this, is that when it gets out of hand, oh, wait, they did. You can throw them out and elect a government that represents you, i.e. maybe what was taking place January 6th, a bunch of irate folks who felt the government no longer represented their political beliefs or ideologies, and felt it was time to cast them off and elect the government that would. It says
right.
it in
and
the
you know,
Constitution.
There's a candidate locally in Seminole County who was actually inspired because of the grievances he was seeing at the local level, at the school board, and at our local politicians who were not doing anything or who were ignoring the science and just following party lines. His name is Drake Wartz, and he's running for House Representative. I think it's District 36. He's running for Joy Goff-Marcil's seat in Florida. But he's a pro-freedom, pro-liberty, pro-medical freedom candidate. And we need more people like that. We need not career politicians. We need passionate moms and dads, passionate grandparents, passionate citizens who love our country, who love us, who love freedom, to get up and run. And I mean, it would be a grassroots campaign because they're not career politicians, but those are the kinds of people that we need to get motivated to run for public office that are going to actually be we the people.
Right. And those are the candidates that will win. And when you run for school board per se, like, you need to get how many candidates do you need to replace? So in Seminole County, we need three replaced. So we need a panel of candidates to run as a group. We are the candidates to run. And that's where we're going to win with the grassroots candidates, is as a group. These are the candidates that we are backing.
We have some really good groups in our local area known as Community Patriots of this county, that county, the other county. We got Community Patriots of Hillsborough, Pinellas, Pasco, and Hernando County. And they are actually going around and talking to people, knocking on doors, going into businesses. And if you look in, I believe the stat came out of Hillsborough County, November 3rd, this is the last election, there were a lopsided, disproportionate amount of Democrats, 50,000 more Democrats than Republicans. Today, that gap is like 1,300.
Right. Right.
They've been out registering voters, knocking on doors, and enlightening people. Community patriots are doing great things. And Moms for Liberty are doing great things. Moms for Freedom doing great things. Florida Freedom Keepers doing great things. There's a lot of organizations that are doing amazing things. And it would be wonderful if we could, and they're all on the same page, all fighting for the same thing, but we're all splintered in all these different groups. Wouldn't it be fantastic if we could all come together in one big group? Oops, we did that too. It's called Make America Great Again in the Trump Movement. 80
right,
million.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, one thing is some of our school board members have been on the board for 10 plus years and they rarely have anybody go against them. So now we're going to have multiple candidates to choose from in these races and it's going to get muddy, if you will, you know, so it's, we need to find the right candidates and we need to run it as a panel and we need to take back our school boards. We need to take back our counties. We need to take back our states.
I think if only one good thing has come out of the pandemic in the last year and a half is that I think people are really starting to get involved and recognize the deficits of our politicians and our school board members. I did not realize how inept, well, I shouldn't use the word inept. I didn't realize how corrupt, how far our school board, our public schools had gone towards, you know, the left. I did until I started attending the school board meetings, I did not realize the progressive agenda that they were pushing on our children. I didn't realize
well,
the
you know
books
what happens
that are being
a lot of
allowed and recommended in schools. Sorry, go ahead.
You know what happens with a lot of the school board and local elections is people drive around their neighborhood and they see the guy with the most signs because the guy with the most signs must have the most support.
Right.
So I'm going to vote for Joe Blow for school board district 3 because he's got more signs than Neil Down has. So I'm going to vote for, you know, the other guy.
Well, that's why it's so important to get out and talk to your neighbors. Like, engage with your neighbors. Say hi to them. Talk to them. See what their experience is, you know. You have to go around knocking on doors to find out where you stand.
And here's another one. Folks, you can call up the candidates when they're running. They are want to talk to you. It's maybe the only time they want to talk to you is when they're running.
Right.
And you can look them in the eye and ask them the important questions and get a feel for it. After they're elected, have a good time trying to. You can send them an email.
That's about
it.
It's so funny I had coffee with Drake this morning, so it was great to sit down with him, and he was honest with me, and he looked me in the eye, and when I brought up concerns that we need, because in Seminole County, we shadily hired our school board attorney for our superintendent, and we're actually preparing a lawsuit against that. And when I spoke to Drake this morning, I told him, I was like, you know, we need laws that protect what our superintendent's qualifications are. They are paid based on their education experience, but they aren't hired based on their education experience. That needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I wish people would be more involved. I always push local elections the most a lot of times because you can't change the swamp unless you get rid of the swamp in your neighborhood.
Right.
You know, you got people in there who are taking advantage of the system. They take advantage.
Right.
And somehow, somewhere down there has to be money flowing into the pockets of these school board members, somehow, some way, under the table, backhanded deals. Because I know some of these guys on my local school board. I know what they stand for. I've spoken to them personally, eye to eye, face to face, and then see what they do when they're on the school board.
Right.
Opposite of what they portray when you see them face to face. So maybe you sat down with this guy and he sure did put on a really good facade and said all the right things because he's a politician and they know what they're doing. scared.
Before we close out, because I know we're coming up on time, I wanted to give your listeners some resources that they can pull from if they want to address their school board or if they want to address their local politicians and they're looking for facts and data and stuff that they can use as foundational for you know, asking for no mandates. Where I pull some of my data from is America's Frontline Doctors. They have a lot of really good resources. They do a lot of research. There's a lot of great stuff on that website. Also, I watch The High Wire. It's every Thursday in the morning. So they have podcasts and they record. Yep, Del Bigtree. And they are all about the science, all about the facts. There's no fluff. It's like an hour and a half, and it's facts, facts, facts. So The High Wire.
Yes, I had Del on the show a few times.
Oh, have you? He's great.
Yeah, I'm acquainted with his media contact, Jim.
Okay, great. He's a really good person to follow. Even the CDC. The CDC themselves have the data or lack thereof that you can go pull from. And I also want to give people the Florida Freedom Keepers website so that if they want to get plugged into events, they're all over the state of Florida. If they want to get connected in any capacity, it's FL for Florida, flfreedomkeepers.org.
Yep.
And I'd like to add, if you are wanting to hold your school board accountable, it's really important to know what their policies are because that is what they follow. So look up your own district's policies and your state's laws and hold them accountable for that. Tell them, read these laws to them and read their policies to them. And that's how you're going to keep them where they're supposed to be.
Jessica's really good about that. She's really good about reading
the policy. Here's one to look at. Jessica, here's one that you might try to find and look into. Maybe it's in your county, too. We had it here in our county, and we put up a big stink about it. It's called Equity in Education.
We have that policy. Yes, sir, we do.
So the Equity in Education training manual is, without a shadow of a doubt, because I had a former school board member who's now running for school board again, and his wife, who's an attorney, come to my house with another lady who's running for school board and another lady who's a parent who shows up at all the school board meetings, and he sat at the table here in my house, and they went line by line, page by page, and pointed out all the critical race theory that is thrown out throughout this training manual. And what they're doing is they're training the teachers in what do you call that crap again? Critical race theory teaching methods. So they may not be teaching curriculum, but they're using methods of teaching that are critical race theory centered.
Right.
And it's really bad. So we put up a big fight. I had one of the local school board members come on my show. And he got really mad, and he started hooting and hollering, and he called us liars, and then he lied and said this training is not taking place in this county. And, like, the very next day we had teachers coming forward going, I took the training. So he lied on the record live on my show, and we got him dead to rights. He ain't going to be on the school board come next election. Scary stuff, critical race theory in schools now.
We have an equity committee in our school board, and it is completely CRT filled, and it's just like affirmative action. Like, why did we get rid of affirmative action, and we just renamed it equity?
Yep, that's what's going on. They're just rebranding it. And you know, it's just unbelievable what we're witnessing. So for Moms for Liberty, is there a way that folks can get in touch with that organization as well and maybe join if they feel like they're a mom and they want to fight for liberty and join the group? How can people join Moms for Liberty?
Absolutely. We have our main organization is momsforliberty.org. You can go there and they have a interactive map that you can find your district's chapter. And if there is not a chapter, you can start a chapter. Contact National, and they will be happy to start your chapter in your area.
That's .com or .org?
.org. MomsForLiberty.org.
MomsForLiberty.org. I just dropped it there in the live feed, folks. Wait, hold on. There it is, So it'll be there when people go cruising through to check out the comment section. I don't know why that's up. And with that, I want to thank both of you for coming on the show. It's very important what you guys are doing. I thank you for being in this fight and fighting for the kids and standing up to the real domestic terrorists, the local school boards and others in our local government. Don't forget city councils, county commissions. Okay. These are very important things.
Your local sheriff is extremely important.
Yes.
Sheriff is the single most authoritative figure in any county with more authority than the president if he comes into your county. So
yes, he decides whether or not they're going to enforce constitutional or unconstitutional laws.
Make sure they are constitutional sheriffs. If you want to know anything about constitutional sheriffs, look up Sheriff Richard Mack. He's the constitutional sheriffs and peace officers guy. He's really instrumental in educating sheriffs on how to be constitutional sheriffs, which is very important in this day and age. Now, if you want to know about the Constitution also, I got a good friend of mine. I can't even think of a name right now. Chris Ann Hall and our husband, JC. You want to check out their podcast, their broadcast. They're touring the country all the time and teaching the Constitution. Chris Ann Hall rocks. She come on the show. She came to our event we had in Brooksville, Florida, and spoke at our event. So that was really cool.
I highly recommend her Liberty University course. That's where I learned a lot of my civics education, was her Liberty University course.
I've been affiliated with Chris Ann since about 2014, and the Bundy Ranch situation was going down, and she was instrumental in a lot of the stuff in defending and sticking up and educating people on constitutional principles and how to defend yourself against tyrannical government.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right here. I don't know if you know the case, but the Bundys used to go into court with this pocket constitution. I'm showing it on the live feed. It is the pocket constitution, and you would see in all the videos they would have this in their breast pocket. And the tyrannical judge actually said, if you have one of those in your pocket, you have to turn it around so folks can't tell you have a constitution in your pocket. And then they actually went as far as saying, we will not allow a constitution in this courtroom. Like, what? This is in courts in America, this was happening.
Wow.
People have no idea how bad it is. You know,
right.
And I do this show, and I know how bad it is, and it's really scary to know what I know and hear what I hear and find out what I find out. Sometimes I'm afraid to even speak about it because I don't want people to be scared to death.
Right.
But if they have faith in Christ, there is no fear because fear is a liar.
Mm-hmm.
It is an instrument of the devil, you know. So again, if you like that, you think fear is a liar, check out Zach Williams. Fear is a liar, out now. I love Zach. I really love Zach Williams. You know Zach Williams? He's really good.
The artist.
He's a singer. I seen him live
for
King and Country a year or two ago. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
As you can tell, folks, here at Patriot Nation Radio, we are a Jesus Christ-loving network. Amen. All right, ladies, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. This is one of my favorite parts of the show, because my friend Dave, you heard When Freedom Rings, which I don't know if you like that song. It's a really good song. And if you like that song, you can go to his website, DaveBrayUSA.com, and his album's Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition. And he, what he does is he talks about the song, why he wrote it, where the idea came from, then he plays the song. So it's the Storyteller Edition. It's a really good album. And he's got his version of the Star Spangled Banner on there. I'm trying to find it here on my soundboard. And it's one of the most amazing versions of the Star Spangled Banner. You may have heard his version of the Star Spangled Banner in the past when he was in a band called Madison Rising. And they did an amazing rock and roll version of the Star Spangled Banner. And when I play the song, I ask folks, you may be in your house all by yourself. God bless you. You may have a crowd of people sitting around the living room. You're listening on your headphones to the show. And this is the time where I ask you to join me and rise. Because at Patriot Nation Radio, we rise to the flag and we kneel at the cross. And this is Dave Bray, his version of the Star Spangled Banner. And we'll be right back and we'll wrap this show up with our fine guests and this amazing show. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Please rise to the Star Spangled Banner on the Patriot Nation Radio. Okay, folks, another episode of Patriot Nation Radio Show. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you, Julia and Jessica, for joining me this evening and giving us some great input. Always appreciate it when we have great guests. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you, Mark.
Well,
it's been a pleasure.
Yes.
That's Florida Freedom Keepers and Moms for Liberty. You want to check out these groups, search them out, seek them out, join the groups, get involved, make a difference. You can do it, folks. It starts with one person, and it can grow. Look what happened. Jesus, bam, here we are. Millions of people, millions of us. Thanks again, folks. That's another episode. Join us next week when I have a guest. What's my guest next week? Oh, my goodness. Oh, I got a great show next week, ladies and gentlemen. You may remember Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, who wanted to hold his superiors accountable on the debacle that occurred after Afghanistan, and they threw him in the brig for speaking out and asking for accountability from his leaders. His mom and his dad will be joining us next Thursday. Mr. and Mrs. Stuart Scheller will be here live on the Patriot Nation Radio Show, 8 p.m. Thursday, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. Say that 5 times fast. I bet I can do it. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, because without you, there is no Patriot Nation Radio Network. You guys make the show. Thanks again for tuning in. Until we meet again, good night. God bless you, and God bless America.